5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
sink.
Hello, everybody! And welcome to 235 of the TTV Podcast. I'm Mesa.
I'm LJ.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Fweffy.
I'm Takuma Nova.
I'm Tenebrae Invictus.
I'm ESX Trooper.
And why the heck did you do that? Get me off my groove.
Because, like, Var's not here, and I feel so empty
and you don't have
without him, so I'm sort of, that was sort of like a substitute, so like, in
thank
heart,
you for filling in that hole, man.
Yeah,
I appreciate
you know, he's
it.
Still here,
I appreciate you.
Kind of, but like, I feel, because like, if someone binge watches all of our podcasts, like, I don't know why anyone would do that, you know, or, I don't know, but like, every single episode they hear Var just screaming something, and they suddenly come to an episode where
he does
no
like
one does
scream.
That. Well, he does scream.
He does a yeah. lot of screaming.
He's I gotta wonder if anybody's ever just, like, binge-watched all of it.
Remember when we were playing Overwatch the other night? I'd never heard him scream like such a little
What happened? Did he get hooked?
He was playing Tracer, got pinned by a Reinhardt, and the second before he hit the wall, I dropped the beat, so it saved his life. But after that, I lost the use of one of my ears. Because it was such a high pitched scream,
I can't
even do it.
You saved my life.
I never want to hear my name that way again.
He was very, very happy.
Hashtag rap god. We have certain names
Overwatch
for when
team attack combo
yeah, Overwatch
names.
Team attack combos.
That team attack combo wasn't used, and Var's life was saved.
No,
well,
it's not.
It's just dropped the beat.
That sucks. I work alone.
Okay.
Nice.
Good luck with solo queue.
You go, edgelord.
Oh, it's fun.
Man,
solo queue. I don't know what
there
the heck you're
no
talking about. I actually win on solo queue, so
I've played
you know.
So much solo queue.
Do you really?
Wow. Dude.
Wait,
yeah.
What rank are you? What's your SR?
I don't play competitive.
Spartan rank.
Oh, okay.
Well, then your opinion doesn't matter at all.
Oh.
So, well.
Oh.
My opinion does matter because I know what goes down in comp.
Oh.
Okay, like, it's not worth
hardcore.
For a stupid
you know what
golden
goes down
gun.
In comp as a player who plays solo in quick play. You know,
oh, yeah,
because
you're straight out comp.
No, I almost only play comp.
Oh, okay.
Well, by
no,
the time this episode comes out, we'll be one day away from the competitive season end in Overwatch. And I'm not sure. We're all aiming to get to the next rank. I don't know if we're going to be able to do it.
Are any of you guys going to get gold stuff?
Diamond.
Yeah, we're aiming.
Oh. No,
wait,
gold weapons.
Aiming. I will
yeah,
be
he was
able
asking
to get
about gold
at
weapons,
the end of
you
next
nerd.
Season.
So. If I can get to Diamond successfully, I'll be able to get mine this season.
Nice. Well,
would
you
get gold all day
after the podcast today?
I'm gonna get the Reinhardt hammer.
We're not gonna have much time otherwise over the course of the week and the night time. So, anyway, enough talk about Overwatch. This is a Bionicle podcast, and surprisingly, we actually do have a decent amount of stuff to talk about today.
What?
Rather than waste time trying to figure out how to awkwardly segue, let me just jump right into our plugs for the day. So, if you like our content. And you like what we talk about, and you want us to keep being able to do it, and you also want to get some cool stuff in return, I would heavily encourage you to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/theTTV channel. We've got a mega list of cool stuff over there for you to cash in on, more to being added all the time, constantly being updated. Most notably, we recently input a new perk that allows you to listen in to live recordings of the TTV podcast via our Discord server, TTV and Brickfeed podcast. I like to call it the live studio audience.
Thank you.
Applause.
Yeah, except you can't hear them.
Everyone
right,
put
exactly.
up the applause card. Thank you. Thank you.
Laugh.
Currently we have a large list of people in the chat posting actively. It's a good way, like, sometimes they'll post comments that we'll just read on air. Sometimes they'll forget to talk about stuff, and then somebody will mention it in the chat. Like, right now, I forgot to put something on our news docket for the day. Somebody reminded me about it, so now we're going to have another podcast topic.
Dude,
it just goes to show you how useful this feature can be.
My favorite thing is when I'm mentioning or talking about something and I'm about to, like, look it up and then they've already posted a link to it in the chat or, like, a picture.
That is really useful.
That is super useful.
It's like a
so
voice
if,
acted
if
Wikipedia
you do that, you
something.
Are just the hero that we deserve or something.
It's like a live
amazing.
Stream, but a smaller scale and more personal, I think. Yeah, I think they have fun with that. I hope they do.
Cross we have fingers. A little inner circle going on here. You know, it's great.
It's POTP instead of POTG. Play of the podcast.
Nice. Play of the podcast.
Play of the Patreon. That sounds
Patreon
of the
podcast. Patreon of the podcast.
The patron of the podcast.
Anyway, yeah. That's just that. Go check out our Patreon. It's a cool place to be. Additionally, fun discussions are always had at the TTV message boards at board.ttvchannel.com. And we also do a lot of fun events over there, like fun contests, one of which recently.
Yeah,
just this wrapped.
Contest recently, just real quick, we released the announcement video for that, and somebody posted a comment going, well, where'd you guys post the announcement? I'm really lazy, so I'm not going to look it up. That's his words, not mine. Well, instead of getting all curmudgeon and yelling at him for being a lazy pile of potatoes, I will recommend that people hit the notification button. It's a little bell next to subscribe below videos. Hit that, and you'll never miss a video, and we highly encourage it.
Don't click it, you know, just hit it. Like, just
YouTube
go
is
at
strange.
It.
Wait, what does that actually do?
Hmm? So what does that notification button will notify you, both on like your phone and on your desktop, whenever a new video is made. And I'll make sure that our videos actually show up in your newsfeed, guaranteed. So the thing is, like, if you've noticed that, like, some of our videos aren't showing up, it's because YouTube has decidedly made some videos not show up in newsfeeds and others do. It's the weirdest system.
It's been a problem for a while now.
It has been a problem for a while.
Always broken.
The sub box is just completely broken. So their quote-unquote solution to this is to introduce the notification system. Notification squad, as they are called. Thanks, Game Theory. But basically, that's what the only way for you to guarantee that you will get a video, like a notification when we upload a video, is by doing that notification button. And we totally recommend that you do it, because our videos are great. We have the best videos. Our fans tell us that we have the best videos. It's...
Yeah,
indeed.
Our fans tell
channels
us
are sad.
Best
exclamation point.
Oh,
so there
John,
we go.
Why must you be like this? Anyway, and before we move from the plugs, I'd just like to give a shout out to one of our patrons, as we do every week. I'll do it here because it's relevant. Thank you very much, D. Tenaglia Studios, for being a patron of our content. You know him. You probably love him because he's got more subs than us.
I was about to say.
Thanks for your support. He does.
I've never heard of him
like
before.
Every single video, he's great. He has a lot of really cool stop motions as well.
That he does.
I highly encourage you to check him out.
D. Tenaglia Studios. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. All his link is.
Maybe
that's
you are.
How I've
maybe
heard
you're not.
Prepare
audience,
for the unsubscribe.
I mean, like,
audience, get your links. Do the thing.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's
link
all. That's all
hey, link your go. Links.
So, now, this week, it's going to be a little multifaceted. I think we might as well start with the little quick thing that I wasn't even going to talk about until somebody reminded me of it. Mask of Light's soundtrack is getting a digital remastered re-release by Nathan First. And I think
yes, I did see
March.
That.
Whoa, re-release?
Not an official
was
release.
Was there
ever
a first
soundtrack,
release?
Soundtrack, but many of the songs have
is
been...
Is that just randomly, or is there something... It just seems very out of the blue.
I don't want to take credit for it.
It does.
It sounds egotistical, but it was a conversation topic on his interview with us.
Humble
yeah,
brag.
We did talk about it, and he was like, well, for a while he was kind of considering like if there it would be worth it because he knew that fans were interested in it, but not too sure. But I'm hoping the reception to the interview kind of changed
help
his
spur
mind
that along.
Or kind of help me like okay, there's this base number of people that would be interested. Mm-hmm. And I am definitely.
And he
interested.
Said that if this does well, he's gonna do the other movies as well. So
the other two.
Cool.
And from what he's saying, it's it's remastered as well. So I don't necessarily know what that all entails. I don't know if he had to recompose and like redo some stuff in the studio. I don't know if he had to just find some old files and like you know, kind of re-render them. If that makes sense. I don't know if that's what you do for music. I kind of assume you do, but but like basically, it's remastered. There's how many tracks? He put up a track list the other day on Twitter.
I forget the number, but it'll be on the.
But there's a good number of
like
tracks that's going to be available for pre-order
like
real soon in March. I'm
going to
get all this.
I am going to
so
buy it day
stuff.
One, and I don't buy music oftentimes.
All right, it's going.
Music.
Mm-hmm.
It's available for pre-order on the 4th, March 4th, and there's going to be 18 tracks. in total.
Well, hey.
So you should march forth and
yes.
Get it.
Oh, exactly.
You're
it's like,
funny.
Yeah, march the fourth be with you, right?
No,
I
that's,
mean, yeah,
that's
the point
Star
of that
Wars,
wasn't so much
man.
The joke, it's just an easy way to remember.
That's May
march
the fourth.
March the fourth be with you?
Yeah, are you
that's
sure?
May 4th.
You're not a true
May
Star Wars
mask.
Fan.
May the mask.
The Imperial fourth march.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Well, yeah, it's basically that. Celebrate. Good times. Come on. Nathan first.
There are now, if you look at the track list, there are spoilers for a 14-year-old movie, so if you're wary,
oh.
there's one track, spoiler alert for The Mask of Light, 15
Spoilers,
called
guys.
Hello Avery United and Death of Jollar, so...
Just, basically the
no.
exact...
No, you're
basically
joking, Jollar dies.
This sucks,
basically
man.
Basically the thing, same thing that happened to episode one of the prequel series. Of Star
oh
Wars.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. There's like, oh, it wasn't there like a Qui-Gon.
Yeah, Qui-Gon's like noble death.
Qui-Gon's noble death and something like
and
that. Yeah, yeah.
And that soundtrack was out before the movie, so it was just
oh,
kind of like, oh.
Man.
Well,
of
maybe
course.
It would be worse if that movie was worth keeping
us.
Oh,
oh wow, Rip, oh. Merlin, man.
Don't forget that Lego Star Wars 3
yeah,
was
no,
out
no,
before
yeah.
Star Wars episode or Lego Star
that
Wars
was
that
out is true. Lego Star
3.
Wars did come out before episode 3 and I remember like people buying that game to see what went on in that that section.
Man.
And apparently like it, I mean, you know, episode 3 in the Lego Star Wars game is pretty accurate.
See,
so.
Look, this is exactly what I mean. Jasmine says from the live studio audience, they used the old spelling of Coley but the new spelling of Jolly. Good old
well, I probably, yeah. I mean, Nathan first is one to assemble all together. He probably just forgot.
Yeah,
or
that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, not everybody remembers the spelling of the one thing
you
that
totally
you
right.
had in
yeah,
the Bionicle
like the
lore. There was plenty of difficult spelling words in Bionicle G1.
Oh yeah. All right, so that is that. Check it out on March 4th. Pre-order the music. It's gonna be great.
Is it on iTunes? Or
yeah,
is it...
it's iTunes.
Okay.
Digital release. It's going to be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, buying
now,
it. Consider it
let's
bought.
Let's get into... some. Wait, what? I'm sorry.
Consider it bought.
Yeah, basically. Buy that like they want. All right. So here's the deal. How much time do we get left in the podcast? Like 50 minutes? All right, cool. Let's talk about our Brickonicle contest. LJ, give us the rundown of the conclusion... Brickonicle.
Just go check out the thumbnail.
All right. Fair enough. Yes.
Oh,
nice.
The thumbnail meme.
You do not even need to watch the video. You just need to look at the thumbnail to see our top three. In ascending order, third place, it goes to the New Jaganess Battle by Reese Eh. He says it's E-A,
Reese
but,
eh.
But
eh.
I'm a little eh,
eh.
On that.
Eh.
Second place goes to The Nui Rama Invade Lakoro by AD the Bukle, who is currently present in our live studio audience.
Not so.
Hey.
And first place goes to the outstanding Attack on Takoro by Bricks of Awesome.
Yes.
And it is very awesome. We have a ton of runner-ups, rather, and a lot of honorable mentions, but I'm not going to get into all of them unless you want me to.
I don't mind.
I'm just thinking of top tens now.
Okay.
Enough for honorable mentions.
Let's mention them.
Okay. Likora Raid by Plural, Kaita Team Warua versus Teradox by Brick Pillar, Great Temple of Mechanui by Kardax, Bara Cavern Battle by Velociraptor, Tahu Master versus Lost by Dark Nova 3529, Manas Attack by Plural, 81930 Onokora by Tora, Paraka Studio by Square, Galley versus Tarkava by Alex 22, Kininui Strike by Smeasel Diesel, Boxor versus Nuvok by Bricks of Awesome. Lee was Jungle Speeder and City of the Mask Makers by CM Forsyth and Showdown in the Koro by Mr. Joe Boto.
Let me tell you guys this.
Nice.
All of you who may be disappointed that you didn't win a certain spot or didn't get another mention, let me tell you this. Your entries are phenomenal. The amount of debate that had to be done behind the scenes to hash out this list down to just three winning entries... was ridiculous.
It took a while.
It took a while. And it took a lot of heavy debate. And some
a while does not cut it.
We were never really able to reach a conclusion about some stuff. We just had to put it to a vote. We could never really come to a consensus on stuff because all the entries are so good. They're so hard to pick between.
Like I
we're literally talking about video, at least 6 hours of discussion.
Like I mentioned in the announcement video, you shouldn't watch. We spent a long time debating second and third place.
Yes.
It those alone took us roughly an hour to 2 hours.
They were definitely the
separately
the most contentious. That's for sure. Is it okay to say which we were debating between specifically?
I think we should leave that a secret.
All right, fine. Let the record there were several that were debated upon very heavily.
I do. The problem is that like we should talk about why we chose the three. I feel like that is
that's
an
fair.
Important
we can talk about
part.
That aspect without
because
like,
they look amazing.
Necessarily going into right. like which we were.
Yeah. Okay.
The main
right.
thing with I would say third place was the most contentious out of the two. The Nui Jagged Nest battle because everybody agreed the Bach was phenomenal, no question. But there were some. The main discussion was relating to the structure part of things, really. Like, I don't... Go ahead and explain the point of view, if you want to.
What?
Because I didn't share it. Like, I was an advocate for this set.
Who are you asking to share their point of view?
Anybody who had it. Or you don't have to. I can just move on.
Okay, I'm just... I mean, I like it. Nui Jagged Nest battle is impressive, and I just realized that I forgot to actually link it in the contest discussion
oh,
topic.
Yeah,
so
huh?
Give me a sec.
Handy.
Better late than never, am I right? Yeah. I'm wrong. Nui Jagged Nest battle's cool. I think as far as a replication of that scene in Minog, it does a really good job of replicating that. The functions are very nice and unique. I haven't really seen a whole lot of LEGO sets do the whole catapult, hit some pillars and stuff. And the Nui Jagged is always really impressive. I think it's the weaker points of it are its basic design. I'm not the biggest fan of how kind of plain it looks. And I've never been a fan of beige. And the minifigure is a little bit stiff. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it definitely earned its place.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, I totally... I feel like, especially with this this model in particular, the presentation's real nice. Actually, I think like one important thing here, especially for people going forward doing LDD models, is that renders are just like taking a good photo, right? The quality of your render is like, you know, if you have a really great mock and you take it in the back of your closet and you have, you know, with like a digital camera, you know, instead of like a high quality thing,
it's not gonna work out as
without
well.
Without proper lighting, it's just not gonna look as good. You know, it's hard for you to get the thing. And sometimes I saw people like post some stuff that just the renders weren't there, you know, and it was definitely a presentation issue that goes into it. Because we don't have either the files or the mock running for us, it's harder for us to judge that. And it is important to like necessarily. To, you know, to judge directly mostly from like the what you're given, the photos you're given and the screenshots you're given. And so this one had really good a really great render, really good presentation in that regard. I felt for me like the you know I like the concept a lot of having the brick built Rahi and having this action kind of theme going there. I do feel like the shrine is cool, has that cool function where it's like, you know, you hit the mask and the thing pops out. I would like to see a bit more like design around that, I guess. Like, you know, it looks like a little point of just having
that was
a box
the main
was,
point
like,
of contention for like $25. Does it look like a $25 set?
Yeah, that was mostly it.
That was a lot of conflicts which I had was that I think there was a lot of misjudgment on a lot of the prices of sets. Like, yes. you'd see like, I don't know, like two minifigs and then a small like set, like site of, well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it would be mean. Like $25 or $30 or even more than that. And it's like, no, that realistically, nobody would buy that amount of pieces for that much money.
You say that, but actually I think that the pricing in a lot of instances was rather accurate. There were some cases where, well, this should have been priced down. Or this should have been priced up. Like, a lot of our contenders probably would have been better off pricing down. I think, actually,
yeah.
that's
a guideline
that
we gave
in.
Well, that's what I was saying, is that it was too expensive for what it was.
Yeah.
It's because we had to have
the same
a
time,
for some people.
At the same time, like, LEGO does overprice sets. For instance,
Especially licensed sets.
Yeah, sure. For the sake of your example, feel free to mention it.
Yeah, the speeder bike or whatever it is that's coming out for Construction Star Wars, it's like
20-something yeah, 24-50
Yeah, and it's priced at $55.
Yep. And obviously that's part of that is a licensing fee, should be. But it's also just yeah. like a scaling up. You know, they sometimes
yeah, do like holy also cow. The Nexonites mechs, all of them are sub 100 parts, but they're $10.
Yeah.
Well, the Brickheads is interesting because Brickheads as a line, each one costs each one costs $10, but they all have varying degrees of 100 parts.
Some
have
good, under 100, like 80 something. Off, keeping them all.
Some of have like 123. So honestly, line. Brickheads is. I mean, I wish Vi was here because he did get some Brickheads over the
year. Feed hype, but. Yeah, that was the main issue with the new Juggernaut battle. The point of discussion when comparing it to other entries was the price. Me, and I know a couple others, being a sucker for brick-built Rahi, the design of the new Jugga was what won it over and tipped the scale. Because we had, what'd you say?
Oh, no, my apologies. Go on. There's something I want to say after you've done that.
We had, sprawling discussions about, putting a parts budget into the new Jugga versus the actual structure itself. And putting it into the actual structure could have made the set appear larger and more worthwhile. We never really reached a consensus on that. It's just different philosophies as far as, approaching a set. But the sheer design, ingenuity of the new Jugga in particular, as well as cool play features of the set, was what tipped it over and put it towards third place in the end. What do you want to say?
Yeah. I just want to address our pricing.
Okay.
So we instructed people to price the sets based on the piece count. Every $10 would be 100 pieces. So if a set was, say, 300 parts, it'd be a $30 set. Mm-hmm. That wasn't because that's entirely accurate, because it is not. It was just for simplicity's sake. Because in order to make a realistic set.
Yeah. It was a framework.
We asked people to make a set name, come up with the amount of pieces, and give it a price.
Right.
And that's why we did that, to make it simple so that we didn't have to do anything, so that they could handle it all.
Yeah.
So.
That is quite right.
Just to put that out there. So is it accurate? No, not necessarily, but it is.
Well, I mean, you could make an argument for certain things. I definitely appreciate the people that rounded up and still had a decent price.
Yeah.
Like people that, I think, part of the thing is that, this is a general... Obviously, there's exceptions to the rules, and LEGO has their own pricing measure behind the scenes that we don't have access to. This is the general one that we have, the general measure that we have, that is generally recognized by the fan base, and we're sticking to that. But definitely, one of the big things that we would... that really caught our attention for us is having a lot for the price that it was in, so...
Definitely. And that brings us to the second place winner, the Nui Rama Invade Licoro, which was also a point of heavy debate. Second place was very difficult to decide. But I really like this model. There's a lot of cool stuff here. Perks.
I love the Nui Ramas.
The perks it has are obviously the Nui Rama. Good. They're very consolidated, very small, very tiny little things, but they evoke that look pretty perfectly, to be honest. The tree... is incredibly intricate. The hut is incredibly intricate. It actually has an interior.
Yeah.
You've got the ladder thing. You've got the hidden mask. It's great. It's fantastic.
I think the biggest draw for this for us, because we were talking back and forth about everything. One of the biggest draws to me for this was that it actually felt like a model inside the world. Especially how well the hut is integrated into the tree.
Trees.
How well everything just kind of feels fuller. It does actually have the best representation of a Koro that I've seen in this contest, in terms of outside of our first place entry, in terms of including that.
I disagreed when we were debating it, and I still maintain that disagreement that it is the best representation of an entire Koro. I think that it's a really good model, and he does a fantastic job of representing what a slice of Licoro life is like.
Slice of life.
You get a very intimate look. Get a very close, in-depth, intimate look at what this kind of a scene is like. It's not a very big tree, and it's not a very big hut either, but it is a very well-constructed one. It's livable. You can, you know, put the Matoran in it, take the top off. And then you have Liwa fighting two Nui Rama, who I presume are common opponents.
Probably.
And the Nui Rama are incredibly well built. I just feel that the scale is a lot closer, and that's its strength as opposed to being a representation of an entirety of a Koro.
It's like the kind of thing to where I could totally see this set being modular. I don't know who would do it because it's like priced at $70, so it would price you out if you wanted to build a whole village. But you could.
Those are pins on the bottom right. Yeah,
you could totally like interconnect them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I feel like you could make the like this seems like two modular parts can like put into one, right? You have the hut, and then you have like a little platform that's another tree. So if you just wanted to, like, you know, maybe if you just created a modular version of that hut, you could do several things with that.
Riddle me this.
Like Elton models.
Buckle Man, if that is how you pronounce your name, who's in the chat right now. Does the hut have any furniture inside? I can't really tell. Nice. It has two tables. That's cool.
Yeah, it has two tables from what he says.
Also, something else that's really cool. Entry that didn't necessarily play into the decision of the set itself. It's just a funny, not a funny, but a fun extra little bit of trivia. He also crafted a concept design for the Liwa minifigure, which I love to death. The only thing that's really different from this concept as to the actual minifigure that's in the set model is the mask and the weapon, because the armor is maintained, the printing is roughly maintained.
Yeah.
But you get a good look for what a Bionicle minifigure could actually look like.
I want to jump back into the minifigure discussion real soon once we get back into G3, but this is definitely, real quick, talking about it right here.
I was going to say that. Usually, like, the arms and legs are usually underdeveloped in design, but I'm very glad that you didn't forget the arms and legs. We've seen other ones where it's like, I know it's difficult doing arm designs as I've drawn them myself, and I've sweat, you know, wiping the sweat off my face going, what am I supposed to do with this? But no, you get there and it looks fantastic.
Indeed. All right.
Yeah. I like that he did the Miru justice as a Miru connoisseur, but I like the minifigure. My only gripe with it would be that some of the printing, like on the arms, doesn't make a lot of sense to me, like having the Tomata as a frame of reference, but hey, it looks great. He did a great job making this minifigure concept, and I definitely believe for a few of the folks here that enhanced the experience of this set and and definitely push them toward a conclusion.
Thank you, LJ, PhD in Mirus.
You're welcome. I'll be here all week teaching classes.
Nice.
Miruology 101.
How can you teach class when you have no class?
Because if you don't shut your trap, you're going to get classed. You're going to get schooled. Dang it.
You're going to get classed.
I think you need to go back to school to learn about being schooled, LJ.
Yeah, I gotta go back to kindergarten.
The school of schools.
I need to learn my ABCs.
Oh, what kind of courses are you taking, LJ?
School courses.
Let's talk about our first place winner. The masterpiece of design. What's up?
There's no secret here. This was pretty much instant.
It was really funny. Because when... That's fair.
Well, I originally didn't vote for it. It was mainly just like, actually,
when everything had been said and done, we all kind of had, okay, there's a couple I really like here that I'm going to want to vote in the first place spot. I think we all had our own, like, different agendas and opinions up until this mock got posted rather late into the contest, and then everything basically went out the window. It was basically like, well,
I mean,
Takoro won.
If you've seen any like pictures of it, you automatically know how impressive this is.
You might not agree, there might be gripes that you have, but like I hope you can see why someone would want to vote for this thing. It is
right. Yeah.
It's large, it's expensive, it's clearly not representative of what every Bionicle set would be in a wave, but it works as a flagship for me. It is the entrance to Takoro. You know, the gateway, the bridge, everything.
And the stones.
But what I love about it is it's got attention to detail. It's not...
The attention to detail is
gorgeous. This set is the kind of set caliber that the Disney castle is. There's a lot of intricacy. There are a lot of cool hidden knickknacks and corners and crannies.
Like Jala's room.
All sorts of intricacies.
Just one of those subtle things. Room. Got a coley stick, a bag, and a bed.
Oh no, a coley stick and bag?
Yep, and the bag.
What I love...
Yeah, like this is just so much added
to it. This kind of went over in our discussions, but similar to the minifigure concept we just spoke about, he has decals, custom decals. You see the Tahu Nuva symbol on flags, on the walls. There's a sign up toward the front that says, "Welcome to Takoro and Matoran."
Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, the attention to details is stellar.
And then, of course, for me, it's a well-known fact among the group. I don't know if I ever made it public because I didn't want to influence the contest. The easiest way to sway me into voting for your entry was to include cool brick-built creatures. That was basically the hook to winning me. And these Rakshi are they're so tiny, but they work so well. They're so cool. They've got waist articulation.
I do like how the Rakshi look. The Rakshi are very, very well done. One thing that also... Oh, man, it's just like the figures in this set are really good. You know, they're stellar all the way around. But especially
stellar,
the Rakshi Ugali
and the Surge helmet and the exposed orange neck. No,
well, okay, I mean you know what I'm talking about.
I think the Matoran minifigures are a bit better than the Turaga and Toa minifigures. Yeah.
Right. I mean like that is because there's only
the
so much you can really
curse.
Do. They're placeholders. They're just like it's a concept. But one thing I really like about the figures in this set overall is how much... One thing I dislike about a lot of flagship sets is that they don't have a lot of depth. Me and Viral talk about this constantly. It's one of the things we love about Erditsu Temple, because Erditsu Temple has depth. You know, it has like that ratio
totally.
To it. And the thing about this is that you get the best of both worlds. You can have a giant wall that's like lengthwise really cool.
Or you can fold it
or
in.
Or you can fold it back and have the two bridges leading to the center. You can have kind of this this semicircle. And that to me is just amazing. It's fantastic in terms of
if this were an actual set, and I did mention this in the announcement video, if you had enough of them, you could make a full city.
Right, you could
like
actually make a full.
It could come all the way around. It'd be massive. You'd probably need to buy like three of these. But, yeah.
Oh, I'd
you need to make
that.
More modular sets, man.
Yeah,
like,
the one thing
like
that...
Modular stuff.
What's, well, that is a thing about the theater we're going to get to. Yeah, Takuma.
I was just going to say, the one thing that tipped the balance for me as far as whether or not I got my vote was the bridge. Like, I wasn't going to vote for it, and then I saw the bridge function,
yeah.
And totally. That alone.
The bridge function is really, really cool. There is a lot of cool functions
I didn't even
that come
that
with this set. But especially that function with the bridge is kind of like its flagship deal. My only complaint is that I actually do wish they had like a gear set to the side so you could like crank it instead of like twisting at the top. Just because like I feel like twisting at the top, because you have to keep like twisting your own wrist, you know, it doesn't give that smooth motion of having that bridge going.
It does
so
take
I would,
a while as well. It's
yeah.
It's a long process. It'll take you maybe about, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds?
10 or so twists,
yeah.
Yeah. So I would say that like with the crank, you could just like kind of crank it sideways, and it'd be a lot easier to get that bridge in and out. But definitely, I think like and we had a lot of great entries in this contest. But this is not to the devalue them all. But the moment I saw this, I was like, I can't imagine. Like I can't imagine this not being first place. Honestly,
of
you
the
know?
People that voted in this contest while we were deciding entries, and this was hosted. The staff
were
the only ones that had any input. But of the people that voted, this is the only entry that got every vote.
Yeah.
Every one of us. So it was fairly unanimous. He did a really impressive job.
It's a perfect amount of functions, of look, of world building, of everything just tied into one.
Totally. Now, let's open the floor, because so you haven't gotten a chance to fully voice your opinions, and I also want to briefly talk about some of the honorable mentions, so let's just do open the floor. What are some of your favorite Brickonical entries? What's some stuff we want to spotlight on the podcast right now that we really enjoyed? That goes for everybody. Fweff and Main. I mean, Envy. Takuma X.
Nice. Oh.
I can't remember the names of all of them. Yeah.
Don't worry.
I made a entry list. Google Doc.
Oh, you hero. Thank you.
Yep. These are just our winners and our runner-ups. Yep. So. But we do have a full-fledged topic of all the entries. In the end, it mattered. We had, I want to say, about 92 total entries. Now, obviously, a lot of them got disqualified, but as far as entries that individually got entered, we had around 92.
Yep.
My favorite is Paraka Studio, by far.
Yeah, I like Paraka Studio.
I just love Paraka obviously. So much, and it has so much fan service, and it has everything in the Paraka line that we loved. The bowl, the arm thing, just I can hear like Move Along playing in the background as I look at the pictures. It's amazing. I just it was a very nostalgic trip for me, and there's just nothing else that
I do really love it to death. There's a lot of it has the most attention to detail out of basically anything.
Yeah, it wasn't
it feels like a playset just because like when you see it laid out like you would at like Lego shop. You see that there's so much accessories, so many things in this. It has so many play features. I could see this being a set. Like the only thing though is that it reuses the minifigures, but it does look authentic though when you play everything
together. It looks like I didn't really in the Paraka Stronghold. Like it was very like over the top, considering it was 06. Like and they had like Paraka heads like as the stronghold, and it didn't seem like a. Yeah, that struck me as weird too. Like, but I love this set because it fits in with the theme, and plus, I love that door breaking in.
You even have the studio
because that actually happens in the story, which I love about that.
This is what I was saying. I love this entry. I thought it was an excellent entry, and honestly, I think that Square. I think he outdid himself from his past entries. First one.
Yes, I do prefer this to the dark.
Is the dark portal. And I think he just did a much better job consolidating the set, making it feel a lot more solid. The render even looks a lot nicer. I think he did a great job. I personally really enjoyed it.
Likewise,
this
I love it to death couch. As a Paraka fan and as a fan of good attention to detail. The only thing that kept it back, I think, was its aesthetic, because it's a lot of gray. And unlike Takoro, they didn't break up that gray a lot. Like, it just uses the pre-built rock pieces on one side and like some gray paint.
Well, in the music video it's all gray.
Yeah, it's very accurate. Like, you know, it gets points for
it's
accuracy.
It's super accurate.
So it's not to bash on it, it's just, you know.
It's also modular.
Yes, it is. Everything's modular. That's good in life.
I mean, I want to talk about this modular system because I feel like modularity is the is kind of like where we should be taking the set design of Bionicle.
Definitely.
G3. If you were going to do that would need to be a definite concern.
Personally speaking.
And like you said, Meso, I feel like that the only one of the biggest things that kind of worked against it was kind of the source of inspiration. Paraka Studio is while iconic scene, it is also very colorless. And I felt like that kind of drew away from what the mod could be. And also partially because like I feel like sometimes like single good lighting and stuff, the render didn't properly convey The render to me was a bit lackluster.
Definitely.
I felt that way about the Black Portal too. That the render just didn't end up looking.
Dark Portal, yeah.
That's what I said, yeah. It didn't end up looking the way I wanted it to, or what I thought it could look like. So eventually when it came down to like, you know, we were going past the votes, like is it this, is it Takoro, is it the Likoro, this one was ultimately passed up, but it was a very close race. Definitely one of my top like five entries.
Here's another one of my
favorites. I really liked it.
And I know the main thing that held this one back was the Kirinui itself, because while it gets points for accuracy, it's a rather small, uniform, and very symmetrical structure. So it's like you just build the same thing like four times, kind of a deal.
For those unaware, Kirinui he's talking about the Kirinui Strike.
Smeasel Diesel. I am a sucker for these figures, dude. I love them to death. The Toa Kaita, basically perfect how I would do it, using mixel joints and building techniques in creative ways to actually get normal articulation for the legs. which I really appreciate because not all Mixel joint figures are able to do that. And they keep the aesthetic of like combo model nature. And then the Nui Jaga and the Nui Rama. Love them. So great. So that was one of my personal favorites. That unfortunately was not able to make the cut for a variety of reasons.
I do like this entry. I did vote for this entry. I like the Kaita. I liked a lot of aspects about it. Unfortunately, I feel Arahi were a little bit too big and a little too inaccurate.
Yeah, he did take some liberties.
But they were creative. Yeah, but I like it. This was the entry that I was really looking out for during this contest, and I'm glad that we did get it because it is what I had in mind as we set out to do this.
Totally. Kini Nui for life. Another honorable mention. The Brickonical entry, Showdown in Lekoro. This one came very, very close, and I love it to death. This set still remains one of my personal favorites, and I would buy this in a heartbeat if this came out. And this is the Showdown in Lekoro by Mr. Jobota.
I really, really like this one.
Yes, I do.
This
At
one,
Printis from our live studio audience. I love them all to death.
Yeah. A lot of these entries are fantastic, and honestly, I'd love to talk about every single entry
probably
on the podcast, which... we won't be doing, but I will do it on my channel.
Good
so I will talk about all the entries because they're really cool.
Well, we will be talking about several of the entries on here on the channel as well. So this isn't like the last bit of content you'll see regarding this contest.
This was one of my favorites, honestly. Shodan and Lekoro. It was really, really one of my favorites. I like the concept. I like the execution. I think he did a great job. I love the minifigures. Maybe the only thing I would have changed would have been the Toa minifigures.
Yeah.
But other than I'm a big fan of the set.
Yeah, I will not go as far as to say I love all the minifigures. I feel like the minifigures are the weakest part of this set. I do like everything else. I really like how he's able to convey such a large space for a small amount of pieces and a good enough price. But like I don't know the minifigures, they have that robot aesthetic that I do not like when it comes to minifigures. I feel like that was the weakest point of this. And also I feel like there is something to be said about Hatchery having a part of the village on there. Like, you know, I one of the things that led us, we were talking about these two Lekoro entries what led up to that, and I felt that the other one, the presence of the hut really made the concept of Lekoro a bit more valid.
Well, it's because this one's a playset and the other one's a display model. That's two very different kinds of sets, and I think they both excel at what they're
doing.
Two
very different kinds of
sets.
It's
just like subjectively, which was. But I love, my favorite thing about this one is a subtle thing. It's very, very subtle. It's the gecko perching on like the nest, and he can perch with a Mixel joint and then like just pose her out. Which is really cool to me. It's one of those small things that you would barely even notice, but when you do, you're like, oh, hey, that's pretty awesome. So.
Yeah, no, I really did enjoy it.
I liked the flare on this. I don't know. It just looks so... It just pops out so visually to me, which is why I really liked it.
That's a lot of varied color usage. A lot of good use of browns and greens, and a very good render to go alongside
for
it.
Sure.
So.
I don't know how many more of these we'll be able to talk about in this episode. Probably not many for this particular one, but I do
I feel we should probably move into a couple of critiques that people had regarding the choices here.
You would be correct.
Because a lot of people were surprised that Square didn't have a place with the Dark Portal and that CM4Psi.
I was just about to talk about CM4Psi.
Okay, good.
He is one of the people who put 3 entries in, and they all look wonderful. They all look phenomenal with high production values and good set design.
We didn't look at it as his entries and go, oh, those are nice. We looked at them and went, wow, those are outstanding. They all did a fantastic job. CM4Psi orchestrated each and every one perfectly to represent a different price bracket and a different type of Lego set. They're all
that's what
amazing.
I appreciated about them most of all. You look at his three entries, Leva's Jungle Speeder, Stone Mech Attack, City of the Mask Makers. They're all different aspects of what people want Bionicle to be. There's the vehicle set that everybody fears Bionicle becoming, but it looks really cool and is perfectly in line with other LEGO $20 vehicle sets and has some Bionicle coloration and flair to it. You've got the Stone Mech Attack, which represents Bionicle becoming a mech line, which has some other more cool vehicles. Incredible stuff with the Skull Basher bike. I love it so much. And then the Pahatu Mech, which is basically a CCBS Hero Factory mech, but improved with more sturdy system builds for the legs and some cool complex design elements. And then the City of the Mask Makers, which is a location. So it all works together in the end. And I think my favorite part of his entries are how accurately he is able to interpret G2 characters into system style. I think that's what I love most of all.
And he got all of them from 2015. I think Sans a few protectors.
Yeah. And the picture from City of the Mask Makers where you see all the minifigures lined up and you just see, like, you got the Skull Villains basically perfectly, Protector, Toa height ratio, even Ikir, who has no business being there, looks awesome. Onua has a custom build and is bulky. It's great. And then, of course, my favorite element, Loss and Skull Scorpio, which have more poseability than their actual sets, which I feel is important to mention.
To highlight.
Mm-hmm. No, why didn't any of his entries win? Because that is a common question. Let's get into that.
Okay, so the first thing that we're going to go through, we liked all these entries, and we liked that he chose different waves to do.
He was in the final stages of consideration, I'll put it that way.
Right, and that was one of the considerations that took a really long time. Like I said, this entire judging period took, I would say, anywhere from 4 to 6 hours of us literally sitting down and, like, hammering it out. Every single entry, what do we like about this? What do we like about that? For me, okay, so the City of the Mask Makers, I really like the set. I like the detail it has. I like the kind of depth it has. I felt that, like, compared to other sets that were selling for around the same price point, that there was a bit more to offer. So with Takoro, like, we were looking at Takoro and how it's like $150, and that's such a great price for that set for what you're getting. You're able to look at that and go, like, that is $150. I'm perfectly fine with paying that.
This is $90.
And I felt with the City of the Mask Makers. With the City of the Mask Makers, it's still an amazing set, but I know that it's, like, you know, it's part of the thing that part of the went into the set. It's just hard, you know, for me,
it's
like,
how it
know,
looks,
coming out
because
of it,
at the end of the day, it's three towers in a sense. One has a launcher,
right?
One is in Fort, and the other is, I think, supposed to be the center forge of the City of the Mask Makers with, like, the Akimu symbol on the mask, but it's not immediately recognizable as that. Yeah, there's no...
Because it doesn't have Ikimu and Makuta. It doesn't have the anvil. Front, right, you know, doing so. The thing, the statue.
I'm left kind of, like, right, with a kind of hollow feeling when I look at it. Like, it's an incredibly designed set, but there's something missing for the $90 price bracket.
For what I was getting, I felt like, you know, it's still really well done, but I could see it going for... If he was able to consolidate some of the pieces, make it closer to, like, around maybe $60 or something... might have been a better contender, but for $90, it was a hard sell. Looking at the other sets that we have gotten previously for $90, that was one of the things we did. We would look around other sets that had the same piece count and the same price points, and be like, okay, is this price point accurate? And if so, what actually counts?
That being said, I'd still buy it in a heartbeat because it looks so cool.
It looks so cool. I don't know if I could afford $90, but I really do like it.
Additionally, you might wonder, like, why was the Jungle Speeder given an honorable mention, but the Stone Mech wasn't it? Because the Jungle Speeder was actually in the very final stages of consideration for how it was able to basically perfectly execute what a Bionicle vehicle on a small scale could look like. You know?
Essentially, I came out to this discussion of, like, what we wanted G3 to be, per se. Like, what was the thing behind that? What do we actually want from this line?
Vehicles or creatures and stuff.
Did we want something that tried to be a little more innovative and creative and tried something new, or something that represented what we felt that, like, it could do with this line? Because a lot of people, right, and, like, they're talking about rightfully so, like, the I feel like the Jungle Speeder is very well executed. Like it's a very well executed set. Draws a lot of inspiration from 2008 vehicles, but it also is what you would expect from LEGO coming forward. And some people were very hesitant about, like, you know, kind of like, is this actually something that you are excited to buy, or is it just another another LEGO set that just happens to have Bionicle minifigures? And that was a big point of contention going back and forth.
It was never really fully agreed upon. It's probably going to be a debate in the future, and to be honest.
There still isn't.
No, we'll probably revisit the subject.
I love this.
We will revisit this at a very very near point in time.
No, I was just going to say, CM4 size entries, they're some of my favorites. Some people asked why in the announcement video I lumped both of his in together, but I did not lump in plurals. And while I would give the professional response, well, you see, I felt personally that CM4 size entry had a bit of cohesion, and they just seemed to kind of work more as a series. Legitimately just forgot.
Nice!
And, like, literally, I was like, I had them in no particular order, but I had them on, like, a list in no particular order, and CM4 size just so happened to be together. So,
I mean, there is also a thing where we discussed the Dark Portal, and as the contest went on, the Dark Portal was initially on my top list of stuff to win. It may not have gotten my first place vote, but it was definitely up there, at least in the top three. What eventually happened was just people started making better mocks with the structures to the point where it kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit. But what I want to spotlight it for specifically will always be those brick-built figures. I say them for everything, but those figures
are the best part of
Umarak and Makuta. Because we were discussing, does it really work with the Dark Portal set? Not necessarily, because there's two gargantuan brick-built figures, the portal, which is kind of just a bunch of rocks, and then a few minifigures. So it might not be the most cohesive thing in the world. But the brick-built figures in that set could honestly work as their own line. They're the only thing so far that's made me look, okay, Mixel Joint Bionicle could actually work if it was built like this.
Right.
You know?
Well, there's part of, like, the part of the debate that went into that, too, is that, like, thinking about the brick figures and thinking about the Dark Portal, I do like some elements of Dark Portal. Like, I like how the blades come out as, like, Makuta's mask, kind of. A lot of it did use just kind of that stone piece for a lot of the construction behind it, and it felt, compared to the other structures we were seeing, it felt a bit lackluster in that regard. And that's kind of the whole draw, is the brick built figures and that portal. And I felt that the portal wasn't altogether there, which is why the Dark Portal was not a part of the. I actually like the Paraka Studio by him more than, like, the Dark Portal.
I agree, but I had to mention the figures because they're really cool.
Yeah, the figures are great. My thing with the figures is that I don't necessarily know, because I was looking at it and, like, kind of trying to figure out if it would actually not just stand, but, like, all the pieces actually work. Like, are the pieces just, like, in that position because they're rendered, you know, and, like, gravity isn't affecting them, and, like, you know, you're not able to pose them around and stuff. I wonder how
that's
they would actually move.
But, I mean, like, I felt the same way about.
And I couldn't.
I feel the same way about G2 Makuta, actually. And, like, he's unstable, but he can stand.
That's,
you know?
Fair, yeah.
It's not the most stable thing in the world.
And I couldn't tell from that. I couldn't tell from that render. Honestly, I think, like, the greatest downfall for those sets was the quality of the renders. They were not. I wasn't able to accurately tell or get the entire picture as well as some others, some of our entries.
But I still love it to death.
That's something that needs to be taken into consideration.
Real quick, address the fact that all the top three entries are G1 specific.
That is true. Didn't factor into my decision, really. But it is
whatsoever.
A thing that should be noted, I suppose.
Well, okay. Well, there is a reason why, partially.
There's more stuff to draw from
it
G1.
Yeah, there's more. The thing about G1 is that there's a lot of world building to build from that you don't see in LEGO system, but you do see in other forms of media. You see them in video games, you see them in, like, drawings and that kind of thing, and there really isn't for G2, and that's the biggest problem we have in G2, and that's kind of what prompted this whole thing to begin with, where, like, G2 didn't really have any world building. So in a sense, it's a coincidence, it just all happened to be G2 related, but in a bigger sense, it's because there's less things to draw from building, like, environments in G2. And I feel like because you have more environments to draw from G1, most of your detailed, very well done environments are going to come from G1, which is why they ended up being put on their thing, because that's what we wanted to see, and it's easier to get that from something that already exists as opposed to something that didn't really, you know. The City of the Mask Makers is possibly the only like thing I remember, the city or structure I remember from
D2. And it's not even like an interpretation of the actual City of the Mask Makers properly, because that'd be difficult to do, because yeah, it's statues. Like, you can make Takora like, because it has, like, iconic stuff to draw from. You know, it's got accuracy, it's got, like, attention to detail with the Coley sticks and finding, like, the Mask of Light with the boat or whatever and the Rakshi attacking. But if you tried to make Takodo, what would that even look like?
We don't know. That's the thing. We don't. We have some concept art of Fire attacking Village, Lee Koro, possibly, but that wasn't
Skull
ever...
Spiders attack Likodo. But all the villages look the same because they all have the same type of hut design. Just a circle.
Right.
An orb, so they would lose that, like...
Well, I mean, really, that's not even canon. Part of the thing we did want to see some canon entries, you know, stuff that, like, has been confirmed, not just, like, concept art.
And then part Jaga, of that I guess did tie into
the
done,
fact that we don't know what they look like.
Somebody versus Loss in the style of Nui Jaga. But, I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know if it would have won.
The structure was a larger... price model, and it had like a mega loss figure, so it wasn't the same thing as Nui Jaga, which was on a smaller scale, so I don't know.
Yeah, but yeah, nothing, there was no bias against G2 necessarily going in, but it is just the way that the contest turned out.
I actually had to fight down my bias in favor of CM Forza because I wanted to give him points just for like making sets better than actual Lego sets, like making the Skull Scorpio better than the actual Skull Scorpio, but I couldn't do that because that's like being biased. It was a tricky situation, but all in all, I think everybody should feel really good about themselves. All these entrants and all these winners did a phenomenal job, and they've cemented my faith in Bionicle as a system theme forevermore. It would work, we know that now.
Right. Anyone else have anything to say real quick before we jump
in? I would like to open the floor to some people that haven't spoken as much to give some opinions, but if you don't feel like it, that's fine.
Yeah, you kind of said what I was, you know, thinking at the time. A lot of the stuff that I voted for wasn't on the runner-ups list, but there were some fantastic sets there. And I don't think I could do anything as good as that, honestly.
Sad, but true for me as well. I can't mock the system.
When it comes to set design, I don't know.
Maybe one day we'll get there, blank. But I'm bad with system.
Blank space.
Yes.
You just gotta believe, man. You can
X
do it.
Takuma,
I mean, if...
I don't know. I'm really pleased with all of the people that won or were runner-ups. They definitely did show that Bionicle is viable. My only issue is that if I was a kid and these were the sets that came out with these price points, I probably would have zero sets, not gonna lie.
That's why it's good to have smaller sets too, like the Nui Jaga Battle and the Liyue Jungle Speeder and all that stuff.
I would just save up for the Paraka Stronghold, man. It's too cool. Just wish that for Christmas. You know, I'm a
just
patient
buy the
man.
Parts off Bricklink.
If I have to wait,
totally build that.
No, but like we're talking if the sets were real, and I was like not as large as I am right now, I would be a smaller, tiny person that wanted these things. But I also want to say that it's there were so many entries. It's really nice that this whole thing brought so many people together. There needs to be like more Bionicle contest things to just keep it alive, you know? It's
appreciate
cool.
all of
yeah,
you.
I like.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a very nice getting together thingy me Bob.
Takuma, what were you saying?
I mean, pretty much everything I would have said got said. If I was to contribute anything, it would be, first of all, the Boroxy Temple. I really like the Tarakawa. Like the Tarakawa was never one of my favorite Rahi, but I feel it's so well done.
The Boroxy Temple
one.
Has the best visual representation of the Tarakawa, definitely.
Yeah, they need to do a contest where it's just brick bolt Rahi. Please. That would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, you know, yes, this definitely proves that Bionicle would work as a system theme. That being said,
I probably still wouldn't buy much of these sets on a personal level, but to me, like, the greatest boon from trying to go this route would be like, hey, it would sell well probably, and then I get my story.
That is the dream.
Because really, that's always been the main pull for me.
That was the dream of doing the Systematical, so it can get the budget and respect it needs to actually, like, live long enough to tell its story.
Yeah. So now we just need a fanfic contest.
That's a thought.
Yes, good idea.
Yeah. That is indeed a thought.
What will our community do now?
It would work on the sole fact, though, that these big gray set pieces, people would buy them because, you know, Star Wars does that, and they sell like crazy. Just big, just gray, big boxes that cost $100, you know? So
nice.
That should work.
No, I don't think you're wrong. I do think that, like, part of that has to do with the Star Wars brand name.
Well, yeah, but it was a very desperate attempt at a joke, but
you try.
The star Tumblr
Let's
thing.
Let's spend the last few minutes of our podcast today branching off of this Brigonical, System Bionicle. I want to spotlight something from the message boards and also use it as like a springboard to talk about some community feedback for a few minutes here. Someone made a concept art piece of what a Tahu minifigure would look like for G3. And it blew my mind. I'm getting the topic right now. Someone could help me, please. I have some difficulty.
Yeah, I got you.
Link. Thank you. It is absolutely phenomenal, and it's what I've been wanting to see, really. Is Bionicle actually like, okay, I make a realistic minifigure with decals and printing. And the Liwa concept from the Numerama entry was close, but it was also a drawing and a pose. This is an actual minifigure sheet with, like, what the minifigure would look
like. Yeah, like a concept,
like,
right.
And its realistic poses alongside a piece of artwork. It's really, really good. It's basically all I can say about it.
It's incredibly well made. It's colorful. It's very, like, Ninjago, Nexonites, Chima style. I could definitely see
the
it
face,
happening.
It's a mask, but it's also expressive.
So here's my thing with the face. I actually, the actual head mold was something that I was having a lot of trouble with. I was drawing up some concepts myself for what it would look like, and I couldn't really find something that works. And once I saw this, I was like, there we go. Because this is the thing about the thing I really like about this face is that it looks good even without the mask on. And with the mask on, it just adds something extra to it.
Yeah.
You know? So that's what gets me. It was hard for me to find a face design that worked, but man, this does really well.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy system sets, but I'd definitely buy minifigures if they looked like this.
Yep. So we have Tahu and Liwa shown in the minifigure style, and it just works. It works so well. I don't know why Lego. Obviously, they've improved a lot over the years. Their quality has improved, but The minifigures from years past just look like jokes compared to now, like the Bionicle figures they made.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why they even just did that. It left a bad impression.
I do feel like both the collectible minifigure series and also the advent of the movie sets have led them to be able to craft really, really, really good minifigures recently. Like, amazingly good minifigures, to the point where, like, now there's a lot of stuff, you know, dual-injected, like, stuff for like, the arms and the legs and stuff is becoming more common. Printing on the legs and the chest and the side of the arms and the back, that's also becoming really, really common. Expect really detailed printing, too, so.
Totally right. It's just, like, also just the design. I don't know why they broke from standard minifigure design years ago. Like, if it couldn't be done right, I would understand, but it totally couldn't be done right. Ragdoll has proven this.
So, X, I'm actually really interested to see what you have to think
about
this.
Yeah, X, how's that going?
In great detail.
Well, that's how much I've done, basically. You know, I've just been busy cleaning my room. I was actually going to start today, but then a TTB podcast popped up. I do have some competition, but I still have like a wide range of minifigures going. I don't want to talk too much about it because I want it to be more of a surprise thing, and I don't want to set expectations too high as well. But it's gonna be something I'm gonna work on for a while, and it'll be there when it's there. You all know, right now fair. I'm working on a commission as well, so I have my hands full, but it'll be there in the end.
So I mean, what do you think of this concept?
It's amazing. It's I was kind of like, oh, now I have competition. But it's some of these ideas is like some what I had in mind. It looks incredibly well, but what I had I had a lot more accessories in mind, like shoulder armor, etc.
Yeah, right.
Other
right,
things.
Totally.
So the only but the big thing here is of course is the head mold, the face. Along with a helmet is genius. I could definitely see it happening. Probably a bit fragile because it's a bit thin. The openness with both the eyes and showing of the mouth. I don't know how much that would work, but definitely as a concept, it looks amazing.
It's a good point. Think about fragility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have to see how that that plays into it. I love how it looks, but there is that element of like you know concept design into actual plastic.
Totally.
How does that hold up? But man, it could come out looking something like this, that would be amazing. Honestly, I think you could come like you could do away with like I know he has the vents on the side to show the mask under like the face underneath, but you could get rid of that possibly and like have that be filled and just have the eyes and the mouth opening. Would you think that would still be sturdy enough? Or
when I was talking about that just now, that was I kept that in mind. That's why I just said like the mouth hole and the eyes, because you see that if you see the mouth and the eyes, there's like a very, very thin plastic over there. Mm-hmm. But then again, it could also be like a slightly more rubber, like some of the hairs that Lego does. Like there's definitely been some more riskier attempts of minifigures made, but it's definitely something along this. Like it's just making it look less bobblehead. You don't want to get the Lego Iron Man Megaforger syndrome when it just which is horrible, but it doesn't really have like the feature of like you opening the mask, so it's a very good design. I incredibly like it. I'll probably take some inspiration from it, but I do have my own idea in mind as well.
All right.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what you got. So
all right, and before we end for today, I do want to spotlight a few more drawings for our continued G3 discussion because we unveiled the Rakshi concepts last week. Some people are fans, some people are not, but we've gotten a lot of cool concept art furthering the concept or just having people put their own spin on it. So I want to share some of those real quick. Minifig Rakshi concept drawings by Rocco. And then we have JTL's G3 Rakshi by Jedi Time Lord 824. And we've got a G3 Vorok concept sketch by Jakura Nuva, showing like the spooky skeletal kind of a look.
Ooh,
that's really
okay.
Cool.
I like that one.
Then we've got concept art Rakshi of Fear by Gravity Hertz 123. And then lastly, Rakshi concepts by patron live studio audience member Scorpion Strike. And I love seeing all these interpretations.
Man, all of these are real, real cool. I like all of these a lot. Alright, let's kind of real quick.
Some people do not feel the Rakshi concepts, which I understand. But some of the responses have been interesting, very thought provoking. Because really what it boils down to is personality. A lot of people feel that the new concepts lose the personality that the older Rakshi had. They had a very distinct style. You know, they had a very distinct aesthetic and concept is the thing. Like, oh, the Rakshi were just really cool. These next ones are just generic monster-inspired creatures.
Well,
This in one way. The Rakshi design is very unique and creative. Rakshi generally aren't.
Not generally
Rakshi
aren't.
Rakshi
are
kind of like, besides from 03, they're kind of like cannon fodder for the Toa.
Yeah,
they're just the standard design. That's the point of a clone set.
Yeah.
All of Bionicle G1 in the early years had that thing where they did clone sets. It's not a thing Lego does anymore. even sets which are in the same template have some design variety. Just look at the protectors, you know. They are what a modern-day clone set is, and even they had some differences. The Rakshi were literally the exact same thing, copy-pasted six times.
That was like, just like that was the thing that, that really
just like the Bo-Rock Call, and just like the Vaki, and just like the Visor.
And kind of like
there's a response.
Baraka as well.
Baraka kind of.
Yeah. There's a response that, specifically called out the fact that the Rakshi lost their character.
That is something.
And that, but what that, character, though? That baffled me because I don't, I literally do not think the Rakshi had any character.
They looked cool. They had like some personality.
Their design, the visual design of the Rakshi, like in general, was kind of cool. But the actual individuals had no character. The fact, like, character has nothing.
Angry snakes with arms.
Yeah,
legs.
Well, the character. I mean, the actual character in terms of the story has nothing to do with how
the
they
sons
look.
You could be a good character and just be like an average. But they're really just thing. Slugs.
Yeah, I mean, the sons of Makuta, but they don't actually do. That means nothing. They don't act like his sons. They don't have a.
They don't
thing
have
where they're,
like they don't have a like a self. They do function by themselves, but they don't have like a high sentimental like. Mind.
Right.
They're not like, who am I? Where am I? What is this?
They don't have
personalities.
Sons of Makuta could have been a thing where they're like, they're all, maybe they were all like, you know, fighting for his approval, all six brothers kind of like vesting for their father's approval, trying to bring him back, trying to help him conquer. That could have been a thing, and that wasn't. They literally are just mindless beasts that are a different color,
and
they have different staffs.
I remember, like, maybe it was, like, I'm not sure if this is canon or not, but I remember, like, you had to have, like, a certain amount of Rakshi to create a Makuta. So you could have had this, like...
No.
That's not
canon.
Yeah, I was, like, I was kind of,
but
never
as
really
a concept,
heard anything
though.
That... Yeah, like, even in a concept, it would be better than just having them as, like,
yeah,
known
totally.
As machines, because it's,
like,
totally
like oh,
that yeah. each rock... It's like a game of Snake. Like, you eat... Until you eat everything in your path until you're powerful enough to, you know, eat bigger things. So it's kind of like something similar to that, where the Rakshi more of like a self-cannibalistic...
Right, like a... I like that concept way more than what we got.
And then eventually they'll become like a Makuta at some point, but they have to eat their own brethren to kind of get there. So
I do think that like there is something to be said about having a bit of cohesive design to tie stuff together, and I don't disagree with that. But what people were saying, I was reading comments that are like, well, you know, like we do need clone sets like the Rakshi and the Bo-Rock just so we can know that on the same side.
Yeah. I think
like I don't think it needs to go that far.
Okay.
I really don't. I mean, honestly,
well, it doesn't do that
I
anymore.
Would say
that's an antiquated concept of set
right.
design.
Even the Bo-Rocky, like the Bo-Rocky themselves, they had individual, like they had a common design element, but they were very different in terms of design. I feel like
yeah.
that is essentially what we're kind of
we have not
going
had
in a bit
clone
more of a varied
villains
sense.
Since the Paraka, and even those weren't clone
yeah.
villains. They had individual.
If you,
the Bo-Rocky
if you,
were
even
characters,
right? It was just the sense
they were individual characters.
Which did look basically the same, but we've abandoned clone villains. LEGO does sets with personality now. Or they're supposed to. Like, the closest we came was the Skull Villains, which were just a horde of enemies. But even their designs were completely distinct from one another. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
They were horde villains, but they were just, like, they had different levels of the horde, right?
Exactly. There was the archer,
different species.
The four-armed guy,
right.
The minotaur,
right.
You know, the scorpion. It's like... If that was...
Oh, yeah, someone also was like, what? You can't have a Minotaur and Bionicle. I'm like, are you serious? Because we
do you
already
mean,
got
like,
one.
Yeah.
Some of the characters, such as Anona, are based off of, like, Hungarian folklore.
That feel
what
when
mean?
It took
like,
me a moment to remember who you were talking about. Good old Anona.
Just... Yeah, I know. Anona was a great concept that was
unfortunately
never ever seen, ever.
Well, I mean, I remember that because Greg mentioned it, and I was like, that's really interesting.
That's totally true.
So, yeah, in fact, I think for Villains or Monsters 101, you kind of have to read into folklore, because that's what has scared people for centuries. So
yeah. So yeah. It's the kind of thing
I can
understand if you feel the new Rakshi lose the... I can't even say character. I guess I could say lose the heart of what the Rakshi were supposed to be, because they're not Krata inside of a metal suit at that same time. I feel like the whole Sons of Makuta angle being carried forth is enough to keep that.
Yeah, that's the core of I feel like what the rocks are supposed to be. I don't think
the only thing to build upon, yeah. Really.
Yeah, we're not going to be doing the slug thing.
Keep the head with the little teeth till I get that visual.
Yeah, cohesion. Yeah, I get that little the visual cue going on totally. But other than that, I can't see us really doing anything more with that. I feel like the people who are kind of like voicing their concerns are a bit of a vocal minority.
That being said, while that very well might be the case, is all still in pitch stage. It's concept stage. Nothing's been decided. That's why we're doing the podcast for the first place. So we appreciate your concerns and keep them coming. Make your point. Make your
feedback.
Responses. We'll reply to you if there's something that we've missed. Cool. Otherwise, we'll just have a dialogue and nothing can go wrong from that.
And keep getting this fan art and concept coming.
Yes.
That is definitely something I'm really enjoying. Like we aren't able to talk in depth about all of these as much as I would
want.
We'll
return to them. I'll use them as like things I'm in the seeing. Video
we will.
During the weeks we talk about this stuff. Because
they will definitely be concepts we'll touch upon when we're talking about like, the Rakshi and the Toa going forward. I feel like the Toa are going to be we're going to be focusing on the Toa next and kind of fleshing out the villains for the round and also how they're going to come back to Toa and getting that relationship down.
Totally right. So, anybody else got anything? Now's your chance.
Nope.
All right. Well, in that case, thank you all very much for listening to this jam-packed episode of the TDB Podcast. If you would like to share your thoughts on the Brigonical contest and the winners, there is a link in the description below. I would go check out the full entry list as well, because there's a lot of really cool inspiration for stuff that maybe just narrowly didn't make the honorable mentions list. A lot of cool entries in this contest. I would definitely go check them out. Additionally, if you would like to leave any feedback on any of the G3 concept drawings or minifigure designs or anything at all those links will also be in the description below for you to check out. And please keep your thoughts coming on G3, Bionicle as system, minifigure design, set design, Rakshi concepts, Toa concepts in the comments below. Keep the feedback pouring in because we'll build upon it in the coming weeks with your help. And also, get hype, Nathan First's music, March 4th, pre-order. That's basically
I'll be listening to that while drawing my Bionicle
G3
concept.
Yeah, with movie spoilers. Yeah, it's,
with movie spoilers. Don't read the back.
It's going to be great drawing music, I imagine, for you. So that's basically all. We'll see you all next week. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the TTV Podcast. I'm Mesa.
I'm LJ.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Fweffy.
I'm Takuma Nova. I'm Tenebrain Victus.
I'm AXX Trooper.
And we'll see you all next time. Thank you. And goodbye.
Toodaloo.